right, Luke chapter 5, and we're just going to pick up right where we left off this morning. Luke chapter 5, and we'll start here in verse 27. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering, said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, if you would compare this portion of Scripture with that of Matthew chapter 9, you'd realize that this fellow Levi here is in Matthew called Matthew. Same fellow. He was a publican, a tax collector. That's what publicans were. And if you were a Jew who was a publican, you weren't viewed very kindly by most of the other Jews. And the reason was, is you were serving Rome by taking those Jews' money and giving it to Rome. Now, you want to take a Jewish person's money and give it to a Gentile as another Jew, you ain't getting invited to the family reunions. You with me? You understand? Not a good thing. Listen, it'd be like today, if someone came in here and they wanted the fellowship with us and they were an IRS agent. Amen. Anybody ever have any dealings with an IRS agent? I haven't, thank God. Maybe we shouldn't put this online, because I don't want one. Amen. Not trying to get anybody mad at me. I never skim, I never try to do, when it comes to taxes, I don't want to visit from one, ever. I've heard too many horror stories. Amen. Those guys have a lot of power. Amen. They want to ruin your day, they can. And good luck trying to get that fixed once they have. Amen. And this is the situation that he's in. But man, think about it. If the Lord can save a tax collector, if the Lord could save an IRS agent, the Lord could save anybody. Amen. The title of my message this evening is simply this: Calling All Sinners. Calling All Sinners. And the reason most people don't get saved is simply because, verse 31, Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And the only people that are going to look for an answer, the only people that are going to truly look for Jesus Christ, are those that realize they're sick. They have a problem. They have a need. And as a result of being a sinner. And the problem in the churches today, brethren, is everybody's preaching about a Savior, but nobody's telling them the need for one. And the need for one is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It wasn't just a mistake. It wasn't just an oversight. It wasn't an error. It was sin. And it was a sin against a holy God. And you sin against a holy God, buddy, that's it. One sin is all it takes. One sin against a holy God will leave you in a lake of fire for all of eternity. That's the seriousness of it. And people need to realize they're sinners. It's like I mentioned this morning about that poll that was taken. And all these people raising their hands, saying that they were saved, and yet only 4 would say that they were ever really totally lost. And you can't get totally saved until you're totally lost. And the only way you can get saved is when you take your place as a sinner. Amen. And there's all kinds of sinners out there, but unless you're willing to take your place as a sinner, there's nothing for you. The Lord can't do anything for you. You don't stand a chance. Amen. If you can't even admit that you're a sinner. I heard of an evangelist, and he was preaching in the church one time, and he got up and he started preaching and going through his message. And finally he said, "You know what? I'd have a good message here tonight if I could just find me a sinner." He said, "The problem is, in most churches, you can't find you any sinners anymore. You find Baptists, you find Catholics, you find Lutherans, you'll find Congregationalists, you'll find good people, you'll find people that think they're better than the other person. But man, trying to find a sinner, it's almost impossible. If I could find a sinner, I'd have a message for him." And some old skid row bum that bumped into the church, happened to be sitting in the back row, he stood up and he said, me, I'm a sinner. Amen. In the middle of this, everybody else is kind of looking back, looking on, what is this guy doing? I'm a sinner. I need it. Amen. You know, say, did that fellow get saved? Of course he got saved. Those kind always get saved. See? Those that'll realize they're a sinner, hey, they don't have any problem realizing they need a physician. Amen. But you've got to see the disease. You've got to understand the need before you can ever come as a Savior, to a Savior and be saved. And some of us, brethren, listen, some of us, we were real sinners when we got saved. I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you right now, some of us in this church, we had a lot of experience with sin before we got saved. When we got saved, we knew we were sinners. With a capital sin. Amen. With an exclamation point or two at the end. That's some of us. Now, some of you maybe not. Praise the Lord, I guess. I thank God for every young person that gets saved when they're 5, 6, 7 years old and stays clean, never drinks anything stronger than buttermilk all their life, and goes on and lives for God. Hallelujah. Thank God for every single one of them. But some of us, we didn't have that opportunity. Amen? I never heard the gospel until I was out of the house and out in the army before I ever even knew what the gospel of Jesus Christ was. And then it took another 7 years, the Lord hunting me down, and me having to realize how wicked I was and that I really needed a Savior. And I couldn't go on in my life without one. Was there any real sinners in here before you got saved? That's the problem with so many of these churches, brethren. You can't find any real sinners anymore that really appreciate being saved. And if you don't understand what it means to have a big old devil come out of you when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what to tell you. It's hard for me to relate to you. Now, I thank God for it. But I'm just telling you, some of us in here, we had a lot of experience with sin before we came to know the Lord. Now, title of the message tonight, Calling All Sinners. And notice the first result of this call in verse 27 and 28. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, that's Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. So notice the first thing when a sinner is called by the Lord Jesus Christ is the abandonment. The abandonment. The all-in attitude that Matthew has here. It's none of this, well, we'll see how it goes. It's none of this, well, I'll give a little bit and see what happens. You know what he does? He leaves it all. He quits his job. He leaves all that old life behind and says, hey, and I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going all in for Him. Amen. I always, whenever I go to a pool somewhere, you'll see these people, they'll come by the pool, you know, and they'll take their toe and they'll dip it in the water. You know, see how it is. See if the conditions are just, well, maybe I'll kind of go in real slow and I'll kind of get adjusted. And then there's other people, you know what they do? They just dive in. Amen. And you know what you find is all these fellas that are really that the Lord uses are the ones that just dive in. How about that? You know what you need to do? You just need to dive in. You need to go all in. In poker, that's what they call it. That's when you just take all the chips you got left and you just put them out on the table. Well, I think that's kind of crazy, gambling and all that. We understand that's wrong. Hey, but when it comes to going for Jesus Christ, that ain't a gamble. You ain't got nothing to lose and everything to gain. You might as well put all your chips in. Amen. You can only win. So you might as well double up. Hallelujah. You might as well go all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just put caution to the wind and sell out for the Lord. And listen, you're only going to get out of this thing what you're willing to put into it. And it's the people that sell out for the Lord, man, they're the ones that are always going to live for the Lord. They're the ones excited. They're the ones, the fruit of the Spirit's in their life, because they haven't gone on into this thing half-hearted. They've sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've given it all to Him. They're not holding anything back. And notice, if you will, along with that is the immediacy of the abandonment. I mean, when Matthew is called here, it isn't like, you know what, Lord, get back with me in a couple weeks and I'll probably follow you. Uh-uh. Did you realize that all the disciples that Jesus Christ called, I mean, look back there in chapter 5, look verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. That quick. Whenever the Lord's calling someone, those that He's really going to use, you know who they are? They're the ones that just that quick say, here it is, Lord, it's all yours. I mean, no messing around, no waiting around, the immediacy of the abandonment. Hey, when the Apostle Paul ran into the Lord Jesus Christ and realized who it was that he had ran into, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, what's his response? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Right then, boom. No waiting around, no fooling around. All right, you're the one, you're the right one. I found the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, I'm ready right now to give it all for you. I'm not putting it off. These sinners that put it off, and the Lord calls them, and the Lord... I don't understand it, man. What are you waiting on? Don't you want your sins forgiven? Don't you want to get right? Don't you want a better life? Don't you want to have hope? Don't you want to have joy? Don't you want to have a home in heaven? Why would you put that off? See? Don't put it off. Just get in. And a lot of Christians do the same thing. Amen. God calls some Christian. I want you to do this. I want you to do this for me. Well, Lord, I'll see. Lord, I'll pray about it. Listen, the Lord told you to do it. You don't need to pray about it. Get busy. Huh? Sure. Listen, this thing don't work on your timetable. Surprise. God ain't going by your Rolodex. He ain't going by your calendar. He wants you to go by His. And when the Lord calls, you're supposed to move. You know what that shows? That shows how much you're really in subjection. That shows if Jesus Christ is truly your Lord. Is when the Lord asks you to do something, Johnny on the spot, here it is. Huh? I mean, think about it. How many of you have ever had a boss? Someone in charge of you? Raise your hand. I have. You ever had a boss? Someone in charge of you. All right. How are you going to make that boss happy? Do what he says when? Well, how about that? How about if you wait a couple weeks? How many have ever been a boss? You got somebody working for you. You ask him to do something. You want him showing up 3 weeks later? Or would you like to see the person that turns around and you say, hey, would you do me a favor and get it? Well, here it is. Huh? Hey. Huh? Ken Dean was telling me about down there in South America when he lived down there for a while. They'd go to the restaurants down there, and I can't remember what country it was now, somewhere down there. And anyway, when they would go to a restaurant there, the waiters would wait there. They'd have the white cloth around them right like this. And they would be there watching those tables. And before your glass would get half empty, or before you needed the next thing, they were right there. You know, lighting the cigarette. You know, before you could even ask, they were all on the spot. You know what that shows? That shows a real servant's heart. That shows someone that's truly in subjection. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord? Do not the things that I say. Hey, young people, are you in subjection to your parents? When they ask you to do something? Did you argue and complain? Do you put it off? Or when they ask you, are you on it? Like that. You understand? Listen, that's showing you how much you're really in subjection. Don't be just a talker. See? That's what parents are looking for. They're looking for a child that when they ask him to do something, it gets done immediately. Amen. A boss, that's the kind of employee they're looking for. A spouse, that's what they're looking for. When you know your spouse needs something, How long do you put them off? Well, the wife's supposed to be in, the Bible says, be in subjection one to another. Now, we know who's in charge, but we're to be in subjection to one another when it comes to their needs. Amen. On the spot. If you're really in subjection. And that's what shows real subjection. See? It's when you don't put off the Lord. If you're in subjection to the Lord and the Lord shows you something, yes, Lord. That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what the Lord's looking for. That's the really the heart of a servant right there. And this calling is accompanied by true abandonment. And if the Lord is really your Lord, there'll be true abandonment because that's what He wants. And you know that. Now look with me in verse 29, calling all sinners. Not only does the Lord, when He calls, look for the abandonment, verse 29, He also would like to see the appreciation, verse 29. And Levi made Him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. He's bringing in all these sinners and everybody else and inviting Jesus in. He's getting to work, man. He ain't wasting no time. I like to see a Christian man after they get saved, all of a sudden they got their family in church trying to get them saved. They got their friends getting them in church trying to get them saved. That's how churches grow. Amen. Churches grow when you get a few sinners in there that really get saved and get something and then go back and immediately, man, they're bringing, hey, you got to find out what I found out. You got to get on what I got in on. That's exactly what Matthew's doing here. Why? He really appreciated. He truly appreciated what the Lord did for him. Amen? What's he doing? He's giving the Lord his food. He's giving the Lord his goods. He's giving the Lord his house. Say what? When you really appreciate, that's what you do. You learn to give. You learn to be a giver, not a getter for the Lord. You're not in this thing just to see what you can get from the Lord. Hey, if you've been saved, haven't you already gotten enough? Come on, brethren, if God never answered another prayer that we ever prayed, hey, haven't we already gotten more than we ever deserve? Couldn't we show a little appreciation for it? That's all the Lord's looking for. A little appreciation. Be thankful, the Bible says. How about a little hospitality? Matthew had it. How about a little service? Matthew did it. Amen. Jesus would want to fellowship with a publican. Matthew sees that. He can't believe it. Jesus would actually want to come to his house? He did. Hey, he'd come to yours if you invited him. Has he ever been by your house? Have you invited him? Hey, if you appreciate what he's done for you, you would. Would he feel comfortable there? Amen? Hey, what has the Lord done for you? I got this little story here. There was a blind girl, and she hated herself because she was blind. And she hated everybody because she was blind, except her loving boyfriend. He was always there for her. She told her boyfriend, if I could only see the world, I would marry you. One day, someone donated a pair of eyes to her. When the bandages came off, she was able to see everything clearly, including her boyfriend. He asked her, now that you can see the world, will you marry me? The girl looked at her boyfriend and saw that he was blind. The sight of his closed eyelids shocked her. She hadn't expected that. The thought of looking at them the rest of her life led her to refuse to marry him. Her boyfriend left in tears. And days later, wrote a note to her saying, take good care of your eyes, my dear, before they were yours, they were mine. And what's the Lord given for you? Do you appreciate it? Do you appreciate it? Calling all sinners, the appreciation, the abandonment. Notice verse 30, the adversaries, verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? They don't think anything of them. Hey, man, if you get saved, get on fire for God, you're going to have some adversaries. They may come from your own family. They may come from the religious crowd. They may come from the educated crowd. They may come from neighbors or friends. They're going to come from somewhere. It's going to come from somewhere. And if you never get any adversaries against you, something's wrong. Amen. If you never get someone after you get saved trying to get you involved in a cult or try to get you messed up in some sin after you get saved, come on now. See? Say why? Because you have an adversary now. And he sees your appreciation. He sees your abandonment, and he ain't going to just sit idly by and watch that happen. And most of the problems you're going to run into, I'm telling you, they're going to be with that educated and that religious crowd. That's the ones you better watch out for. So you can tell a man by his friends and by his enemies. Everything I need to know about someone, all I got to do is look at their friends and look at their enemies. That's all you need to know. It'll tell you everything you need to know. Hey, you want to get the devil mad? Win some sinners. Amen. Just go out there and win you some sinners for the Lord. Amen. Calling all sinners. The abandonment, the appreciation, the adversaries. But notice next here in verse 31, the authentication. Verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The authentication. Hey, those Pharisees are right there. You know what the Lord's telling them? I didn't come for you. Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ walked into this church and walked right by you and didn't pay you any attention? That wouldn't be a very good authentication, would it? He told them, I didn't come for you. Say, what? I came for sinners. Calling all sinners. You know, in the nuclear submarine force, they have a policy of authentication before they can ever let a nuclear weapon be released from a submarine. They're going to receive a tactical message. And when they get that thing in and that thing says, get ready for a tactical launch of nuclear weapons, they have to authenticate. And the CO is there and the XO is there. And then you have the operations or the weapons officers, and they're there to verify their authentication. And then once they get the go to launch off those missiles, once again, they have to authenticate. They don't have all codes. Everything has to match up. Everything else has to fit before they'll go ahead with it. You know what this world needs? You know what the Lord's looking for? Some authentication. Some Christians that are real. Some Christians that you know, man, there's just a no good sinner that God did something for and changed their heart and changed their life and gave them something to live for and do for Him. They've got the real deal. Huh? If you were brought to court today being charged with the crime of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You see, a saved sinner is one that's always burdened for lost sinners. Amen. You don't have a burden for lost sinners, especially the bad ones. You're missing out on the authentication. Amen. You're missing out on it. When I got up at this RU presentation back in January and said, if you're not interested in the RU program and reaching out for these wicked people and trying to deliver them and save them, you're not my crowd. You know why I said that? Because I'm a plain talker and I meant it. And I don't repent of it. You're not my crowd. You know who my crowd is? Ones that are interested in reaching sinners. I don't care if they're juvenile delinquents. I don't care if they're in a jail. I don't care if they're young people that come out to church or kids in a boys' home or wherever. They're sinners. And they need help. And they need a Savior. And they need the truth. And they need to get delivered. And they need to grow. And who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Say, I'm saved. I love the Lord. Is it been authenticated? How real is it? How real is it? You know the fortunate thing with most of you, including my own kids, you didn't know me before I was saved. If you knew me before you were saved, you would be so amazed and shocked of what stands up before you here tonight. It would blow your mind. I can tell you the truth in that. I've never given my testimony and never will because we got young people in this church. And I wouldn't want them to know. I don't want my own kids to know. But listen, I know one thing. Jesus saves sinners. And Jesus delivers sinners. And then you know what He'll do? He'll use them. In spite of what you think. Amen. He'll use them. He'll use them for His glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The authentication. Who is it? William Booth. William Booth would go through the old downtown streets of London, banging on a big bass drum. And then he got a few others playing a couple of brass instruments and others beating on snare drums. And they would just go down and have them a little parade down there. And they'd go down and start preaching the Word of God, handing out gospel tracts and literature. You know where they'd go? They'd go down to Skid Row. You know where they'd go? They'd go down where the whores were, the prostitutes. Amen. They'd go down to the down and out. You know what he'd do? He'd preach the gospel to them and win them to God. And then that thing began to grow and God began to bless. Next thing you know, you'd have thousands of people marching. They all started getting uniforms, marching down the street. Today they're called the Salvation Army. That's where that thing started. It started with salvation. And it was salvation of just a bunch of no good, dirty, rotten sinners that a man had a burden for to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God blessed his ministry. Amen. How many of you ever heard of the Pacific Garden Mission? Downtown streets of Chicago. Reaching out to the down and outers. And back in the early 1900s, they'd go into the saloons and preach and sing and minister to people. And they'd go down where the sinners were and reach them. And eventually you'd see bars close. You'd see sinners get saved. One time, a ball team, the Chicago White Stockings, I think they were called at the time. Some of them fellas, they pulled in one of those saloons, went in there. And that Pacific Garden Mission was in there, just singing, praising God, in the middle of a bar. And that fellow looked at his other ball players, and he said, "Guys, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. There's going to be a parting of the ways. I'll see y'all later." That man's name was Billy Sunday. And went on to win a million people to Jesus Christ. Isn't it a good thing somebody had a burden for sinners? Somebody had a desire to reach them? Calling all sinners. Calling all sinners. I tell you to go out and hand out gospel tracts. I try to get your burden to witness to others. I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to. Should I? Shouldn't you just want to? After what the Lord's done for you? See, what's that? That's the authentication. Does that person have something real? Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." There wasn't no guessing whether Paul was saved or not. John Bunyan, spending year after year after year in jail because they wouldn't give him a license. They wouldn't give him a license and said he couldn't preach without a license. He said, "I got to preach. God's called me to preach." With a wife bringing him papers and a blind daughter at home. And while he's in jail, writes Pilgrim's Progress, one of the most widely read books outside of the Bible itself. As a matter of fact, back in the 1800s, the number one behind the Bible. Say, what's that? Just people that had a burden. Say, why? They were authentic. They were real. They were sold out for the Lord. And notice something else here, the abiding. The abiding. Verse 32, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Where's the Lord out here? Verse 29, He's in Matthew's house. You know what He's doing? He's hanging out with a bunch of sinners. That's where He's hanging. You know where you're going to find Jesus Christ? Come on now. You know where you find Jesus? He's with the sinners. Amen. Hey, we thank God for what the Lord's done for us and saving us. Don't ever forget where you came from. Come on now, you get into this hyper-fundamentalist kind of crowd where you just think you're all now. Listen, I'll tell you one thing for sure. Lord ain't there. You get into a church like that, and they might preach hard on certain things and everything else, but the Lord ain't there. You know where the Lord is? He's where there are sinners. Amen. That's where we need to be. We need to be where the sinners are, because that's where the Lord's going to be. That's where the Lord's ministering. He says He's a physician. Where does a physician do his work? With the healthy? No, with the sick. Amen? And we want to get the sick in. We want them to know, hey, there's a place. There's a place for you here. There's a place where you can find help. Well, look at how they're dressed. And look, listen, anybody that comes through those doors into this church ought to be made feel welcome coming in here. I mean, unless they're coming in with a gun or something, you understand, right? But anybody, man, if they're coming in here for help, they ought to know they're in the right place. And if they come in here and, oh, do you know you're in my seat? Oh, come on, stop that. What kind of follower of Jesus is that? Hey, you're following Him. You're sold out for Him. You know where you want to be? You want to be where Jesus is. And Jesus is going to be there. He's going to be where there's sinners. Old cowboy, he walked into this old church one day. And he'd been working all morning trying to take care of things around the ranch. And he just said, you know, I'm going to go to church. And he went to a church. He'd never been there before. And he walks in and he's got his cowboy boots and just some jeans on. You know, I mean, he's not torn or anything, but just some jeans and a little, you know, button-down work shirt he's got on, his cowboy hat and a little bit of a beard and all that. And after the service, the preacher got done and the preacher came up to that cowboy and he said, sir, we appreciate you coming, but could you do me a favor? Could you get with the Lord this week and find out how He would have you dress when you come to this church? Cowboy said, no problem, preacher, sure will. Next Sunday, sure enough, service gets to start. Here comes that cowboy into church, dressed the same way he was the week before. Preacher just kind of looks back there, preaches his message, service gets over. He goes up to the fellow again. He says, hey there, partner, I know you were here last week and I asked you a question, but I noticed that you came in and you aren't dressed any different than you were last week. He says, well, preacher, I did what you said. I asked the Lord how He thought I ought to dress at this church, and the Lord said He didn't know because He hasn't been to this church in years. Amen. Amen. That's about how those things go. Amen. The abandonment, the appreciation, the adversaries, the authentication, the abiding. And finally, look at verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here, of course, we have the achievement. The achievement. What's that? Repentance! That's the ultimate goal. That's what the thing's all about. Hey, the Lord just didn't say, I've come to call sinners. You did notice that, didn't you? Now, some of those verses, in some of those new Bibles, that's how that verse goes. And some Bible believers, maybe they need some of the new Bibles. Because according to Jesus Christ never came to call sinners. Well, am I losing you? He came to call sinners unto repentance. We okay? In other words, listen, we want anybody that comes into this church to feel welcome coming in here. But we don't want them feeling too comfortable. You follow me? We want anybody come. There has to be a balance in that thing. You understand? We want them to know they can come in here and they are welcome in here, but we don't want them thinking they can come in here as just an old wicked sinner and just stay that way and be comfortable in their sin. That was never Jesus Christ's intentions. Hey, how'd you like to go to a hospital sometime where they've got thousands of patients? Popular! You go in there and you say, well, how many of them come out well? Well, none. Well, wait a minute. I thought that was the whole point of the hospital, was so that we'd find a physician and get better and get well and get healed and get help and recover. You understand? Brother, I had a preacher at a revival meeting I was at lately, and it was weird. It was almost like he was, and I ain't putting the guy down, I praise the Lord for him, but it was almost like he was bragging because he said half of his church was hooked on prescription drugs. And he says, your church probably is too. And I thought to myself, mine ain't. Now, there may be one or two, maybe three or four, but it ain't half. And if it was, I sure wouldn't be bragging about it. What a defacement to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our physician. He don't work. Huh? Does he work? Does he get it right? If we'll let him? If we'll give him the opportunity? Amen. That doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't mean we want everybody well overnight. We realize sometimes it takes serious surgery and it takes some real work for the Lord to get some things done. But you're not going to come in here and leave here 5 months later the same as you first came in here. And if you are, there's a problem. There's a real problem. Jesus Christ never called sinners to stay that way. Every person he dealt with, go and sin no more. He welcomed them. He received them all. But he never wanted them to stay that way. He didn't call sinners just to stay sinners. He called them to repentance. There's the word. There's the word. I'm not come to call the righteous. Which means what? Until you're willing to take your place as a sinner, you don't stand a chance with Jesus Christ. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But then after you realize your place as a sinner, you come to the Lord realizing that there's going to be a change, that He's going to do something for you. My Bible still says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, the day I got saved, things changed. The day. The second I got saved, things changed. Now, not everything. Okay? Not everything. The Lord's still working on me with plenty of things, trust me. But I'm telling you, the day I got saved, some things changed. Like that. How about you? Did you meet the same physician I did? Is he real to you as he is to me? You run Jesus Christ like that, I'm telling you what, he'll do something for you. I mean, Jesus doesn't swaps. Jesus is getting the job done, buddy. Everywhere he goes, he'd be healed. Boom, they're healed. And he's come. And he already told them back in the previous passage that his main purpose isn't just to heal people physically. That's not the kind of physician he is. His main drive and his main purpose is to heal people from sin and ruin lives. Amen. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The sick know they need a physician. How'd you like to go to a doctor that never cured any of his patients? How'd you like to go to a church where nobody ever got any help or ever got any better? You know what you'd know about that place? The Lord sure ain't there. Come on now. If the Lord's there, something's going to change. Something's going to happen. And if you are still having problems in sin, you sure aren't going to be comfortable here. And that's why some of you look the way you do now. Who are you kidding? That's been your problem all along. And you keep faking it and put on a good show, but you know right now the Lord's been dealing with you about some sin in your life, and you've been fighting Him, and you've been fighting Him, and He's trying to help you, and you're fighting against Him just like somebody fighting against a doctor who's trying to save their life. Why don't you quit fighting against Him? Let Him help you. Let Him heal you. He'll do it. He'll do it. He is the great physician. He is the great physician. I mean, do you realize who Jesus is dealing with here? This is Matthew, an old publican. You know what happens to him after he spends some time with Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, we come to a New Testament. You know what the first word is that shows up? Talking about a change. When the Lord wants to introduce the New Testament, Matthew, what, a saved publican? He's showing you this is something new. This is something you don't find back in that Old Testament. This is something new. Fellow Matthew, just an old publican. Just somebody just looking out for himself, never cared a lick about anybody else but himself. But when he met the great physician, when he met the Master, the Lord healed and changed. And the Lord picks him to start off his New Testament. And the Lord knew that first time he met him. Ain't that something? Matthew didn't. He didn't know what the Lord had in store for him. All he knew is he was saved. All he knew is he had Jesus. All he knew is he had a purpose. He had something real in his life that he never had before. He had no idea what the Lord was going to do with him or how he'd use him. But the Lord did. He had a plan for him. He had a purpose for him the whole time. Hey, you want to see Jesus Christ glorified? It's when a sinner becomes a disciple and lives a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, fully abandoned, appreciative, authentic, abiding in the presence of the Lord, calling all sinners. You know what we as Christians in this church ought to be? We ought to be that place, as the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, that place for wayfaring men. Amen? That place where others can come and know there's a place they can find some refuge, a place they can find some help. Read you this story here. I think it's a perfectly good illustration for it. It says, the old prospector's canteen was empty, and his tongue had begun to swell. He was stumbling and was afraid that if he fell, he wouldn't be able to get up again. He was following a faint game trail when he saw the print of a horseshoe and then a boot print. But they were very old and weathered, but they offered hope. Animals and people meant water. After another mile or so, he saw the miner's shack and a pump beside it on top of a well. He called out, but there was no reply. He stumbled down the hill to the pump and lifted the handle and pumped a half a dozen times before he gave up. Either the well was dry or the leathers were perished. He staggered to the door and shack and pushed it open, hoping there might be water somewhere inside. Dusty shelves sagged under ore samples, but there was no water to be found. It was then that he saw the rock on the table holding down a scrap of paper. Out of curiosity, he lifted the rock and read the note. It said, "Welcome, traveler. If you are looking for water, there's plenty in the well. It never runs dry. The leathers will be too dry for the pump. There's a rock beside the pump and a bottle of water under it. Use it to prime the pump, and it will work. It takes all the water in the bottle to prime the pump, but it works every time. Of course, you can drink the water in the bottle. But if you do, you'll die. There's no water for 20 miles in any direction. And if you use all the water to prime the pump, you will get all the water you ever want. Once you've drunk all you want, fill the bottle and put it back under the rock. Leave this note on the table for the next thirsty traveler to find. Help yourself." You see, you come and you've got your own little thing of water. You know what the Lord says? You just take that. And if you're willing to pour that out for me, you'll have all the water that you ever need. And that's what it takes, sinner. You've got to be willing to pour out that little bit for him. You get that pump prime. And I'm telling you, there'll be all the water that you'll ever need. Calling all sinners. Boy, if I could only find a sinner, I sure would have a good message for him. Let's stand for prayer.